Welcome to this new episode of the Teachers of Europe podcast. This is a podcast to support teachers across Europe in addressing common classroom challenges and featuring educators that can inspire others to follow in their footsteps. The podcast has its home on the European School Education Platform, a European Union platform for schools funded by the Erasmus Plus program. My name is Benjamin Hertz, and I am your host for this episode. Now, today we have quite a special episode coming up because it is actually part of our Train the Trainer initiative. And that's an initiative where we provide training to our eTwinning ambassadors. If you're not familiar with eTwinning ambassadors, they are advanced and very experienced teachers who act as teacher trainers and guides that help other teachers to benefit from everything that eTwinning has to offer. Well, we'll be talking about eTwinning ambassadors, and they will be our main target audience for this episode. Probably most of the questions that we'll be talking about will also be relevant to anyone involved in teacher training. So even if you're not an eTwinning ambassador or if you're not in any way associated to eTwinning, then I'm quite sure that this episode will still be of interest to you. Now, our topic for today is how AI is changing our work as teacher trainers and how we can use AI effectively to benefit our teacher trainings. And I'm super excited to talk about it because it's something that I have to deal with every day because here on the European School Education Platform, we do also offer a teacher training ourselves. Now, a lot of these discussions around AI in education revolve around how teacher trainers can best prepare teachers for the use of AI in classrooms. For example, what type of competencies we need to train teachers in, what type of content we should be including in our teacher trainings. But that's actually not what I primarily want to focus on in this discussion today. Instead, I want to talk about how we as teacher trainers can use AI to make our trainings more effective and link to that what the impact of AI is on our trainings a bit more generally. Now, of course, those two things are linked in the sense that what we should cover in our trainings can also benefit from effective modeling practices. So if we use AI in our teacher training activities, then we can model to teachers how they can make effective and responsible use of AI in their classrooms and how they can also teach students effective and responsible use of AI. So there's definitely a linkage there. So if you're more interested into the other type of question that I mentioned earlier, then you might still benefit from the hearing, listening to this conversation. As usual, we have two guests with us today here to talk about this topic, and it's a real pleasure to welcome two close colleagues from Croatia and Greece who have supported our activities on the European School Education Platform and eTwinning for a long time now and are quite deeply involved in the activities, in fact. And we have here with us Arjana Blazic. Arjana is an experienced teacher and teacher trainer from Croatia, and I think you've been tingling throughout Europe over the past years offering all kinds of trainings and especially trainings about AI in the classroom. So yeah, warm welcome to you, Arjana. Great to have you with us.
Thanks a lot. It's a huge pleasure to be here with you.
Great. Thank you, Arjana. Now, it's also a great pleasure to welcome our second guest, Andreas Galanos. He's also a longtime collaborator of ours and, as Arjana, an experienced teacher and teacher trainer who is now working for the Greek National Support Organization for eTwinning. So welcome, Andreas. Great to have you also here with us today.
Thank you, Ben. It's a huge honor and pleasure to be here with both of you and Arjana, with whom we have collaborated in many cases in the past, and it is always a pleasure to work with her.
Excellent. Great. Well, let's get started. Let's jump right in then. Now, I think it would be interesting to hear from both of you a bit more about your work as a teacher trainer and your involvement in eTwinning. So can you give us a quick overview of your background in the area of teacher training and eTwinning? Let's start with you, Arjana.
Yes, I actually started teaching many, many years ago, and I became an eTwinner almost 15 years ago, and I was an eTwinning ambassador for 10 years, eTwinning ambassador for Croatia. And even though I'm not an eTwinning ambassador anymore, I'm still an eTwinner at heart, and I still do a lot of training for eTwinning teachers here in Croatia and in Europe. So I started teaching language arts here in Zagreb, in Croatia, where I'm based. I also developed all kinds of courses, online and face-to-face courses for teachers. And it happened that 4 years ago, I decided to dedicate my whole time to teacher training. So I'm no longer teaching in the classroom, but I'm training teachers in Croatia and all over Europe as well. It all started with digital technologies, but now it's mostly about artificial intelligence and how AI can help teachers enhance the teaching and learning process in their classroom, but also for their professional development.
Well, thanks, Arianna. That's a load of experience that you bring here to the table, to the conversation. And I think your experience as an eTwinning ambassador will be hugely valuable, I think, also for this conversation and for our listeners, the eTwinning ambassadors, to learn from. Excellent. Great. What about you, Andreas?
First of all, let me tell you that I have been trained by Arianna myself. In many cases, actually, and I can confirm that she's one of the most creative and inspiring teacher trainers that I have come across. So her expertise is valuable here. Myself, I'm a school teacher. I teach language, literature, and history. And I have also been working as a teacher trainer since many years, except for eTwinning. I have been an eTwinner for the past 12 years, actually, I think now. And the past 3 years, I am a member of the Greek eTwinning National Support Organization. So we organize a lot of training for the eTwinning ambassadors in Greece. And we coordinate the training they do themselves to Greek teachers who are involved in eTwinning. And as Arianna already mentioned, AI and digital tools are the main focus the last 2 years, I think, after the generative artificial intelligence emergence and the hype that followed. All teachers and eTwinners included are keen on learning how to use it responsibly and effectively.
Great. Thank you, Andreas. And I think that gives us a really nice cue to jump right into our first question. And this is to hear a bit from your side where you really see the opportunities of AI in the area of teacher professional development. Is there a good space here, or is there an argument to be also made? Maybe less so. I mean, you mentioned this hype, Andreas. There's kind of a backlash, I feel, going on at the moment at the same time where people are like, ah, no, maybe we take it all out. Maybe it's too much. What's your take on this? Where do you see AI in the area of professional development for teachers? Let's start with you, Andreas.
Yeah, it is very interesting, this question. And what excites me is that AI can help us connect the dots here. It can make teacher training more personal and flexible. It can save trainers time. And at the same time, it pushes us to have important conversations about ethics, professional responsibility. So it's not just a tech shift or a trend. It's a chance for us as trainers to model critical and ethical use for teachers and for students down the line.
Great. Thanks, Andreas. Arianna, what's your take on this?
I absolutely agree with Andreas. We can actually kind of transfer what we do in the classroom to teacher training. And because both Andreas and I are experienced teachers as well, we know that one size doesn't fit all, as they say. And it is the same for teacher training. In the past, we might have had the same types of activities for all the teachers, but now with AI, we might develop activities much more quickly that suit the needs of different teachers, teachers who teach different subjects or who teach different age groups. So I think this personalizing teacher training experience is something that AI can help us, can support us quite a lot.
And can I pick up on that point? I mean, I think the personalization aspect that comes up a lot, but is there maybe not also a danger if we go too far in that direction? If everybody gets their personalized curriculum, their personalized resources, and we know that education and learning is a social dynamic, right? If everybody goes down a different path, don't we lose that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't think so, because I've recently talked about it in my workshops with teachers. So I think it is important to give them time to reflect on that, you know. So you can create personalized activities and teachers can pursue these personalized activities in your training workshop, but then leave some time, allow some time for personal reflection. And this is what teachers tell me they benefit quite a lot from, because not only do they hear about how other teachers of other subjects are using these activities or tools in their lessons, but also it can boost their confidence, their own confidence in using AI. You know, even though we have been using digital technologies for so many years, And AI is also a digital technology, but still it is so different. And very often teachers lack this confidence. They don't think they can use it in the same way so confidently as the tools used to use some years ago.
Okay, well, thank you, Ariana, for that. Andreas, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yes, sometimes in the same group, you have teachers from different subjects, age levels, even countries. And with AI, I can take an activity that I have on my mind and adapt it into versions for science teachers, language teachers, or primary teachers. And this makes them feel included because the training really helps them connect and speaks to their own context.
Thank you both. Can we move on in you describing something quite concrete that you've been doing in some of your training sessions where you have used AI to support teachers' learning? Ariana, let's start with you.
Sure, yes. First of all, I would like to say that when I do training sessions, I do them in a way that participants need to become students. So they put themselves into the shoes of students. So I think it is important to allow them to experience firsthand what it looks like to use a tool or an activity by using this tool from a student's perspective. For example, if I create a chatbot, then they converse with this chatbot, then we discuss it, what their experience was like, and then I ask them to register for the tool if they think this tool will be beneficial for their teaching context. It is important that it is a practical activity, and that they try it out from a student's perspective.
Thank you. So that's a really nice example of how you can use AI to teach your teachers, to train your teachers in that activity. Is there any part of that activity where you as a teacher trainer have used AI to prepare the activity?
Yes. For example, I'm a language teacher, so for me it is easy to create activities for language teachers. But very often in our workshops, we have teachers who teach different subjects, or as Andrea said, come from different countries. So I need to kind of create different types of activities for physics, for mathematics, but I'm not so good at it, and then I use AI to create different types of activities. And I find it quite easy because I have an idea and AI can adapt it to fit the needs of teachers who teach a particular subject. So yes, I use it quite often as a helper.
So you don't use AI, just to clarify that, you don't use AI for the initial idea that you have for the activity, you use it then to customize, to personalize that idea to the specific situation of the teachers that you'll be working with. Are there any specific tools that you would recommend to do exactly what you've just been describing? Or do you recommend using the general AI tools, ChatGPT, Gemini, whatever else it is? Or is there something a bit more specific that might help?
I usually use ChatGPT to help me with to create such activities, to adapt activities for teachers. And I also see this as a very good opportunity for teachers to create such adapted, differentiated activities for their students who might be interested in different topics. So it is reflecting what we do in the teacher training. And then they can replicate it in their classroom. I think it is important in teacher training to show the participants how it can be done in many different ways. If I had to think of 6 or 10 different activities for 10 different types of participants, it would take me quite a lot of time. But with, for example, ChatGPT or Gemini or any other large language model, this is not so time consuming, especially if you know what you want to achieve. I also use some other tools like educational generative AI tools that help me create such activities. Just recently, I learned about a tool called Flint, and it is a tool which allows you to create very easily different activities for different subjects or different students. So last week I created very quickly activities for learning French. So it was an activity of buying a ticket at the railway station. Then another one, because in my group there was a psychology teacher, so I created an activity in which students would learn how to about the Maslow pyramid. And also I had another one about physics and Newton law. So there was a chatbot impersonating Newton, and so students could talk with the chatbot. So I'm saying these are the activities that teachers can also replicate and do in their classroom. But before they do it, they try it from the student's perspective. So in my teacher training workshop, they are students before they become teachers.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think that's a fantastic idea. And thanks for giving those very concrete examples. Andreas, does this resonate with you? Is this also the way you use AI in preparing your sessions? Or would you point also to some other ways how it could be used?
Yes, I think that more or less I am down the same line as Ariana. I sometimes use AI tools as the actual subject of the teacher training. And sometimes I ask teachers to try out a certain AI tool for lesson planning or for project planning. What I find very fascinating is just how teachers create to the ideas AI generated. And the reactions are quite varied. Some are amazed, others are skeptical, others are afraid, and others are creative and want to intervene and adapt the outcome and give a personal note, which is quite important for me. And I think that AI gives us a perfect entry point to talk about trust, bias, the need for human judgment. So such activities can be both practical in the sense that they try out the tool and a way of building digital literacy for the teachers involved.
Thanks. Let's come back to those ideas in a moment regarding trust and ethics. But I just want to pick up on something that you said, that teachers react differently to this. What's your experience in teacher trainings when you have teachers who might react negatively to the use of AI? And also if they hear that you've been using AI, have you experienced that? And what would your reaction be?
I think I have experienced all range of reactions from being amazed and impressed by even the notion of artificial intelligence to a complete negation of AI use in education. I try to be calm. I try not to give them the impression that I try to push the agenda of artificial intelligence. Just make them think that I will give them all the data, I will give them all the information and the tools available, and the decision on whether to use it or not is their own, but after they have all the necessary information on their hands. I ask them if their students already use it, and most of them are aware that 100% of students, if not 99% of students, already use it. So they can understand that it is quite critical to be aware and just even have a general idea about the tools available and the technology available.
Thank you, Andreas. Ariana, is that also your experience?
Yes, definitely. It is my experience as well. Yesterday, I had a workshop here in Zagreb, and there was a teacher attending this workshop. And when we talked about AI, she immediately expressed her opinion that she kind of hates AI and thinks that AI has contaminated our internet world or the world in general. And to be honest, I really appreciate having teachers who think this way in my workshop. And I think coming to the workshop is already a big step that they have taken. This is a great opportunity to talk critically about AI. So what can we expect? Do we really need to use it in the classroom? What is its future for teaching and learning? And in the middle of the four-hour workshop, when I introduced some tools that teachers could use for their planning and workflow, she told me that she has started to melt. She had this opportunity to see there is something that she can take. I don't want to force anyone to use AI, just like Andrea said, it doesn't make any sense. But showing them what exists, because teachers might not know, might not be aware of it, then we can talk about it, see how we can use it properly in a pedagogical sound way. I think that both Andreas and I have been successful as teacher trainers because we have this long teacher experience from the classroom. So we know what teachers need, what they can do, what they cannot do, what their students need. And this is why we can easily relate to teachers. And that's why we also appreciate the different opinions in our teacher training. I think they can enhance the training itself to a great extent.
Indeed, and that's such a lovely anecdote. I think that's really powerful of showing the kind of impact and what makes it worthwhile for us, right, as teacher trainers when we experience that. Excellent. Okay, let's come a bit to that topic of how we can use AI ethically and any concerns related to that. So I'm just wondering, how do you address this? You've both mentioned that you can use it as a point of discussion, that when there are skeptical teachers around, or you can use it generally to address discussions around, okay, data privacy, bias in AI. Are there any other ways how you address these type of concerns about AI when training teachers? For example, in the way you are transparent about your own use of AI in preparing your training sessions.
I just wanted to say, yes, how important it is to be transparent about it. And this is how I start my workshops on AI. I always start with an icebreaking activity with different types of questions from multiple choice to ratings and pinning on image and so on. And I use AI to create the questions. ChatGPT usually gives me some creative ideas. And if I want, they can be really fun ideas. So I use some of them. I might adapt some of them depending on who the participants are. And sometimes I just copy and paste the suggested question, the generated questions and answers into my survey tool. And then before I start the survey, I tell them. So some of the questions in the survey have been written by AI, others were written by me. So can you guess? And then after each question, we actually play the game of who created this question. Sometimes they are correct if I leave the emojis, you know, like what ChatGPT does, so they would immediately guess. But sometimes they are wrong. Sometimes they think that it was created by AI when it was created by me, for example. But this is a very good idea to start a teacher training, you know, because you immediately show how transparent you are about it and how transparent you need to be about using AI. Okay, in my work as a teacher trainer, but also in your work as a teacher, because students use AI, we know that. In secondary schools, I would say all of them. In primary school, a high number of students use AI. They feel like they cheat, you know, if they use AI, and they don't feel confident to tell their teachers that they use AI. So I think transparency on both sides, both teachers and students, is the key to the right proper use of AI. If I, as a teacher, am transparent about it and I tell my students I used it to evaluate your essay, I used AI to prepare this activity, this quiz, then I will also expect from them to be transparent and tell me they used AI for their homework assignment or for brainstorming. And I, as a teacher, I think have the responsibility to teach students how to use AI properly.
Such an important point. Thank you, Ayana. Andreas, is this something that corresponds with you, or how do you approach it?
Since I like to remind teachers that using AI responsibly is about modeling good practice for students, I try to remind myself that using AI responsibly as a teacher trainer is a good model for the way teachers will use AI in their own classroom. And like Ariana, I use some AI-generated content myself. Sometimes I use AI-generated images to illustrate my presentations. And I try to see if there are any reactions to biased content representations of teachers. And when I finally reach the discussion about ethics and the bias, I ask them if they observed anything weird in the images I used for my slides, for my presentation. And very few have spotted that they're all white, male or young teachers represented in the pictures. And I find that this is very useful for them to understand how not only students, but we as teachers take AI-generated content without critically discussing it or approaching it.
Great, thank you. Picking up on that really important point about bias as well. So covered transparency, bias. What about data privacy? Is that something that you as teacher trainers take into account in preparing your sessions and when using AI tools during your sessions?
Yes, one of the three golden rules I share with my trainees. The first one is protect data. Never input too sensitive information or too personal information. And I think it is quite important because nowadays we hear all of these stories about people and young children that find in ChatGPT and other chatbots a companionship or guidance or even counseling and life coaching. And I think that it's important to understand that we as teachers have, first of all, a responsibility to treat our own personal data and our students' data in the best possible way.
But what does that mean for you concretely as a teacher trainer when, for example, you prepare activities and you want to personalize activities, or if you want to mark somebody's work? I don't know if you do that in your training sessions. What does that mean concretely for you as a teacher trainer when working with your teachers?
I never give names. Actually, I have never given it my name. Recently, I asked ChatGPT, what has it gathered for me by my use of it so far? This was when I realized that I have never given it my actual name. And it gave me very general information. It was very psychology related because it could not retrieve any information from the internet based on my name. And I never give names of my trainees or of my students. I just give the profile that I have a student with this special need, or I have teachers of science and I need to adapt this scenario to fit their needs or context.
Great, thank you. Ariana, any thoughts on this as well?
So, you know, there is always this fine or small script in digital tools. And to be honest, when I used digital technologies before artificial intelligence, I didn't go through all these small script carefully, but now with AI, I really do. So before my teacher training, I read carefully what the privacy settings part of a tool tells us, especially on the age limit of students, especially on the data, how data is processed, where it is stored, how will it be used for training or for some other purposes. So I really, really, for every tool that I try out, I check the privacy settings and read the small script. But sometimes, you know, for me, it's very complex and complicated. I can't understand it. Then I use AI, ChatGPT, to simplify it for me. But I always double check to see if I understood it correctly before I show it and demonstrate it to my trainees in the training session. For each tool that I introduce, I always talk about the settings. So who can use it, how old students can be to use it, do they need parental or teacher consent? And with AI, it's quite tricky because in most of the tools, the age limit is 16 or 18. You can find some tools where you will find that even younger students can use it, you know, but I always also emphasize that they need to be very careful about privacy. And as Andreas said, sharing private information with AI is never an option, not for students, not for teachers, also not for us as teacher trainers.
Excellent. Thank you for outlining that, both of you. I do want to come now to another challenge in the use of AI, and this is the use of AI by teachers in your trainings. Ayana, you mentioned you also organize online courses. Andreas, I don't know if you also do that, but one of the things that we found on the European School Education Platform and e-twinning courses is that we see teachers increasingly using quite clearly AIs to share their messages in the forum, to draft lesson plans as part of the assessment process. In the peer review process, they use AI to formulate some of those responses, etc. And it's not that we discourage that, but it does pose some difficult questions in regards to how we organize assessment activities, for example. I wonder to what extent you've come across this type of challenge as well, and if so, how do you deal with it?
If they use AI to help them rephrase their thoughts, especially if they are not native English speakers, so they want to use it just to improve their English or a foreign language they use, then I think it is okay, you know. But if they just copy and paste what ChatGPT produces, then this is not okay, and no one benefits from it. So, because we can all get the same response by any large language model. At the beginning, if you have teachers from different countries, some of them might be shy of speaking in English or writing in English. I think it is good practice to state at the beginning that we are all non-native speakers, for example, and it is not the English language that we would evaluate. But the most important is that they feel brave enough, courageous to express their thoughts, and organize or create activities that they call it AI resistant. It would be mean to share their own practical experience rather than just discuss about some topics that are not so relevant for their teaching experience. It's a difficult question, you know, but it is also a difficult question for teachers because they also receive homework assignments completely generated by AI. And we know that the AI detectors do not work.
No, indeed. I think that's very important to point out again here that these do not work reliably. And I do think that also what you mentioned about, some teachers might just use it to brush up the language phrasing if they're not native speakers. But even if they're in as most e-twinning ambassadors listening here, they will probably provide training at national level, so they might not have that language issue. But there might still be teachers who feel like, okay, they can't formulate their ideas appropriately and ask an AI for help, which is perfectly fine, should be perfectly fine. But the problem is that we as teacher trainers and the teachers in the classroom have also, is that it's difficult to know when it's just being used to brush up the language, when it is an original idea that was just made a bit more refined through AI, or if it's an idea from the AI in the first place. And that's a real challenge. That's a real problem that I think we haven't solved entirely. I think what you've mentioned in regards to focusing more on questions and activities that require quite contextual information about their situation in the classroom or their school or their own experiences, I think indeed that can work very well. And it's also something that we've been trying to go towards on the European School Education Platform in e-twinning. Andreas, what are your thoughts on this? Do you have any ideas?
Yes, I think that it's quite common nowadays to see people using AI content in various ways. And I'm afraid that in the future, we will see even e-twinning projects generated by AI and not refined by teachers themselves, according to the needs of their students or even to the objectives that they want to achieve. The problem is, first of all, that we have to balance teachers of different digital confidence. Some of them feel already confident enough to use AI and work with it responsibly, critically, and refine the outcomes. Others are, this is their first encounter with artificial intelligence, and they are trying to understand how it functions and how they can deal with the outcome. So we need to find a balance there. We have examples of teachers that overexpect things from artificial intelligence. Some teachers think AI will magically solve all problems. When it doesn't, they feel disappointed. So we have to reset the expectations that AI is powerful, but it's not magic. It works in partnership with our human expertise. And sometimes I urge teachers to create activities that they invite students. So I, as a trainer, I invite my trainees to ask students to use AI and bring back the results and in what way they themselves have refined the outcomes. So we are trying to deal with all those challenges, Ben, as you mentioned, and we haven't found the solution yet.
We've talked a bit about e-twinning, and Andreas, you mentioned this potential problem of AIs being increasingly used to also generate e-twinning projects. So I'm wondering, thinking about e-twinning ambassadors specifically now, what would be one key piece of advice you would give to your fellow e-twinning ambassadors or to e-twinning ambassadors in general about using AI?
My advice would be don't just show AI or AI tools in isolation. Embed it into a meaningful training activity, embed it in a project, embed it in a meaningful activity that serves a particular pedagogical scope. So instead of saying, here's a chatbot, ask teachers to draft an activity with the chatbot. Then reflect on what worked, what didn't, what's more authentic, how it could be embedded in a project, if this is of any additional pedagogical value. Not go straight for AI without thinking or having a context in mind.
I absolutely agree with Andreas, pedagogy first, technology second. But I would also say that they should embrace AI technology. They should be confident to bring them to their teacher training, to their classroom, to their e-twinning projects, and then discuss with students, but also with colleagues, of course, how this AI technology can help them enhance the project, how it can help them become better learners, how they can improve by using these technologies. And I would also say the most important thing is to never stop learning. And as someone said a long time ago, we need to learn, unlearn, and relearn. And I think this is now more relevant than ever. So being a lifelong learner is what really matters.
Okay, thank you, Ariana. Very powerful advice there to your colleague ambassadors. Now, before we close, I would like to hear your opinions on where you see the role of AI in teacher training evolving towards over the next few years. What type of advanced uses of AI in a teacher training context could you foresee? Any thoughts on that? Ariana, let's start with you.
It's a very, very difficult question, bearing in mind the rapid development of AI that we are witnessing on a daily basis. It's really difficult to predict anything for the future. But I think that AI in future teacher training will not be novelty anymore, but necessity. So I think and I hope that teacher trainers will use AI more in the direction of being a partner, you know, a supportive partner. So AI as a partner in learning, so to say, an assistant that could offer you 24/7 support, you know, and coaching. I think it would be great if we could use AI in this way.
Great, thank you for raising that, Ariana. And maybe I can quickly pick that up because I think this idea of AI as a coach to support reflective practice, you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation the importance of teacher reflection, peer reflection also. And we also know that ideas like mentoring in schools, especially for younger teachers or new teachers, is extremely powerful. But the problem is that often there isn't enough time, enough resources to do that. And maybe indeed that could be an interesting avenue to explore where teacher training could you make use of AI to see AI as a reflective coach, as a reflective partner that can help teachers develop their ideas, their thinking, etc. Of course, there are big questions around that. And Andreas, you mentioned earlier this, that the public nature, how some young people are using AI as therapists, mental health coaches, which can sometimes be problematic. And there are probably also some issues that need to be tackled when it comes to teacher training in that area. Could be an interesting area to follow and to keep an eye on for sure. So thanks for raising that, Ariana. Andreas, what's your take on this? Do you agree or do you have any other thoughts?
Yes, I think that we have reached the era where AI is becoming less and less a special topic and more of an invisible helper in the background in everything we are doing, like a spell check. On the first hand, is beneficial, but on the other hand, it is quite dangerous if we don't take into account all the challenges. And for us as trainers, the key role will be to guide teachers in using it critically, creatively, ethically, the human element, building trust, mentoring, inspiring, will only grow more important, I think, as artificial intelligence takes over routine tasks. And so we need a strong community. And this is why I think that eTwinning is essential and important for this, to support teachers, a strong community of practice where they can share what worked, what didn't, and what's the best possible use of artificial intelligence.
Great. And that's, I mean, I think what the eTwinning community is so strong about, right? This community of practice, getting teachers to share with each other, to not feel alone and to discuss. So maybe we can then close with a quick exploration of that idea further. What is it that we at the level of the European School Education Platform, at the level of eTwinning, the central support service, but also Andreas, you work at the national support organization. What is it you think that we need to provide to eTwinning ambassadors, or maybe to teacher trainers more generally, so that they can make the most of AI? What type of support do teacher trainers need? Andreas, let's start with you.
Yes, I think that they need hands-on opportunities to experiment in safe spaces. And I think that the eTwinning community is a really safe space where teachers can feel free to experiment on these. And maybe we need stronger connections between policy and practice. Teachers hear about guidelines, about the European Union initiatives, but they don't always know how this relates to their work at the classroom. And this is where ambassadors can play a key role in making this translation concrete. So this is where we need to focus, I think.
Great. Thank you, Andreas. Ariana, any thoughts?
I also agree that it is necessary to focus on practical, hands-on, interactive workshops in which they can create materials together. And this collaborative way of learning is also one very important characteristic of eTwinning. So eTwinning ambassadors are very well aware of it. So collaborating on the use of AI, working together, and then sharing whatever they have learned with colleagues in their schools and in other contexts, I think is very important.
So more opportunities for eTwinning ambassadors, bring them together to learn from each other, to share with each other, with a focus on AI. But I guess in general, I think that's also highly appreciated always and beneficial. But also, I think this point from Andreas is very interesting in regards to the link between policy and practice. And I think that's where the European School Education Platform eTwinning sits at a very important position in being able to transfer or to translate all that policy-related work that is happening often at the level of the European Commission, but also within other institutions, and translating that for the teacher in the classroom, and eTwinning ambassadors playing a key role as part of that. Excellent. Many thanks both for those insights, for sharing your experiences, your ideas. I think we've covered quite a lot of ground talking about the opportunities that AI provides to us as teacher trainers, how modeling to teacher trainers' good use can also help them then in their work in the classroom. We've touched upon ideas related to data privacy, how we cannot just enter certain information into the AI tools, that we need to raise awareness regarding bias, ethics, etc. And well, you've also provided some real concrete tips and tricks for the eTwinning ambassadors listening, and hopefully for other teachers and trainers as well. So I hope it's been useful to you as a listener. And thanks again to both Ariana and Andreas for joining us in this session. And I look forward to our next episode coming up very soon. Thank you very much for joining us today. Goodbye.